Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's pain-free Friday for us, doing out minutes under mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, the bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad atter, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flood to flood to party, up rats on the west side, bed bugs up down, what a mess, it's tons of tattoo, my face is splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, you could save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Gary Myers will join us from, best-selling author, longtime NFL columnist in New York at the Daily News. He's been on the show many times. Great guy. We'll talk to him coming up at 20 past this very hour. 11 o'clock, you'll want to get in early. It's your boy, Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie Eisenberg of CBSSports.com, CBS HQ, and CBS Sports Radio. You hear him on Saturday nights, Eye on Fantasy Football, right here on the network. Jamie Eisenberg at 11. Call early. You'll want to get on a line at the top of the hour because he'll come on at around 11:03 Eastern, 8:03 Pacific with all your fantasy questions regarding your crappy team that's already in last place in your league. Let him fix your problems for you because he's better at it than you anyway. Live college football tonight as Washington State is going at it in Houston right now with Dana Holgorsen's Cougars, who have the early lead. They jumped out 7-0 with a touchdown early in the second on Mike Leach's 20th-ranked Washington State club. You got the Cougs on the road. So, their highfalutin offense, they light it up and score 50 a game. So let's see what they do tonight on the road. Carver High was all over that nine and a half spot with Houston going into this game tonight. I didn't think that was a bad bet at all. Wake Forest beat North Carolina. It looks like Carver High, they did it by, they were up 21-0 at the half, and it was lights out. Big comeback in the second half. They had 3 and a third, North Carolina 15 in the fourth, that they fell short. They were within a touchdown.
Yeah, they had the ball as time was expiring. They were at midfield. They just ran out of time. Too little, too late. They waited till the second half to really get going, and Wake Forest escapes at home with a 21-18 win.
Going to the fourth, looks like Les Miles going to pull off the upset on the road in Chestnut Hill. A huge win for Kansas. They're up 41-24 and beating Boston College ass. How embarrassing is that for BC?
Awful job by Boston College. We sat here. I kind of liked BC tonight. I didn't end up playing it, but
I liked it, but not laying three touchdowns.
You figure Kansas looking so awful at home the last couple weeks against just run-of-the-mill Division II teams. We talked up BC after the win over Virginia Tech at home a couple weeks ago. And then to have a performance like this, just awful.
They're just like the Red Sox. Average at best. So much for last year. All right. We'll keep our eyes on those football games for you all night long. Get on the Four Horsemen, because it's an all-night ride, baby. Braves lead the Nats 5-0, top 9 in D.C. Yankees, Jays, 5s in Toronto. They're in the 8th. Tigers losing 6-2 to the Orioles, bottom of the 9th in Comerica. Dodgers up 9-2 in the Mets at City, bottom 8. Twins, Tribe, washed. A's, Rangers tied at 7s in Arlington in the 6th. Astros 1-0 after 6 in Kansas City over the Royals. End of the 5th, Cardinals 4-0 over the Brew Crew. Rockies 8-2 over the Padres in the 5th. Reds, Diamondbacks 3rd, scoreless. Cubs beat the Pirates 17-8. Rays, Angels 1st, scoreless. White Sox, Mariners getting ready to go. 10 passed. Right now, they'll throw first pitch. And Marlins, Giants, same thing in about 5 minutes at Oracle out in the city. Week two in the NFL on Sunday includes a big NFC North battle between Green Bay and Minnesota and a rematch of last year's controversial NFC title game between the Saints and Rams. We'll talk about any game you like tonight on the bench. All the games being played on Saturday and Sunday are on the table for you to talk about tonight. Pick it up, dial and dance. 855 toll free 212-4CBS. One of the few tradable pieces left on the Dolphins, defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick, is looking for a trade. They've granted him that wish, and reports say the Cowboys are speaking with the Dolphins about a potential deal. With training camp starting this week in the NHL, the Maple Leafs finally reach an agreement with Mitch Marner for 6 years and $65 million, making him the second highest paid winger in the league. The Leafs are now carrying three of the seven highest paid players in hockey. What does that say, Carver High? I mean, my God, at what point do they just run out?
Well, that's the thing. At what point do you run out of cap room?
Yeah, and you have no room.
And that's a problem that, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, they might have a major issue.
Cry me a river.
I sure won't.
You don't like them, do you? We'll talk about everything tonight. Greg Williams commented on Odell Beckham's suggestions that he coaches guys to take cheap shots. He denies everything, of course. The Melvin Gordon situation is not a Le'Veon Bell situation. Well, we all know what Bell did. He sat out a year. The Patriots are getting Antonio Brown ready to play. There is nothing that's going to halt it, it looks like, at this point. He's going to make his debut. The helmet manufacturer Zenith has decided to end its relationship with Brown. And they say they just want to see players everywhere wearing their helmets. But not him. So now everybody, you start seeing the trend, right? It'll start slowly where no one wants anything to do with the guy because he's such a pariah, right? I mean, honestly. So can the Rams fix their weakness? They have pinpointed their problems. They think they have some issues. They've dealt with them, and they're ready to go against the Saints. Can Derek Carr and the Raiders' passing game keep rocking? They're taking on the Chiefs at the dump this weekend. Doug Peterson has high praise for the Falcons. That could very well be the game of the week. Is it Sunday night, right? That Falcons-Eagles? I think it is the game of the week. Let's face it. And maybe that Vikings-Packer game. Saints-Rams. Those three are the trifecta. Chris Berman and Tom Jackson are back. They're going to do primetime. They did it for 19 seasons. They're going to do it again now on ESPN+. What do you think of that? Will you watch? Torrey Smith, longtime receiver, retires from the NFL at age 30. College, can Florida State, Tennessee, and UCLA turn things around? It has been dismal so far, although Florida State at least has won a game, barely, over Monroe. Talk about hockey as training camps are opening up. Carver High, very excited. He's having some gigs, I heard. Some live gigs now, not only at the Offside Tavern in Manhattan on 14th Street this year, but also spreading his wings out in Long Island. What do you got going on? Some big parties.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing I do in the city, but I'm going to bring it out to the Long Island crowd. So a couple of those later.
When does the first episode of the ILC podcast go?
It's in discussion right now, probably last week of this month.
After 15 years in the NBA, it looks as though Sean Livingston has called it quits and will retire. Canelo Alvarez will fight Sergey Crusher Kovalev on November 2nd at the MGM Grand in Sin City to Megata Hub. You got Cowboy Cerrone and Mr. Gaethje fighting on Saturday night. Justin Gaethje, number 5, lightweight, against number 4, Cowboy. Who do you like? Let's get it on in the Pharrelligon. An ex-girlfriend of Kurt Busch sentenced to prison for fraud and tax evasion. Hope she was good at other things. At the house and such. You know, getting along with others, community relations, cul-de-sac relations, pure bedroom relations. It's all happening here tonight on the bench. 855-212-4CBS. Gary Myers columnist, football, beat writer, best-selling author, first up tonight on the bench. Don't forget, at 11, line up on the phones for Jamie Eisenberg. It's for On the Bench, and this is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, our buddy Gary Myers, great columnist, covered the NFL forever, also best-selling author, New York Times bestseller. The guy's a badass. He's been on the bench. And back again. Gary, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great tonight, Scott. How you doing?
I'm turning the corner. I'm excited about the weekend of football ahead, just like last week, just like every week. When I saw that story about Darnold getting mono, I almost fell over. I wondered how the hell that happened. And then I've heard all these stories about if you have it, you could have your spleen ruptured and everything else. There's all kinds of complications and everything else. Sounds pretty crazy and dangerous to me.
Yeah, apparently, mono, one of the side effects, one of the problems that can result from that is a swollen spleen. And if that's the case, then there's no way he can play in a football game, because then it would run the risk of getting ruptured, and really bad things can happen as a result of that. And so they're going to be extremely careful with him here. It's just shocking. I mean, in all the years that I've covered the NFL, I can't ever remember a player getting mono. Now, they might have gotten it in the off season, and they don't even hear about it. I've just never heard of this during the season, especially a player as important to his team as Sam Darnold. I mean, the Jets had a really, really difficult schedule rather early on. Anyhow, they're going to have a hard time winning games with their starting quarterback, and now without him for, I would guess, it would be at least the minimum of 3 games. Their season, I don't want to say it's over, but they got to get off to a really rough start here.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be in jeopardy. And then when a lot of people probably didn't even know that Trevor Siemian was the backup. And then when they found out that he was, you start giving away your tickets.
Well, here's the thing. He did start over 20 games for the Broncos, and he had a winning record. I think he's definitely a serviceable backup, an improvement over the way Josh McCown played last year. I think he's better than that. So I think that they just have to play around him a little bit, maybe put more of reliance on Le'Veon Bell, get Ty Montgomery more involved in the 5 plays he was in last week. They get the tight end back after his 4-game suspension. Chris Herndon is really important to that offense. And yeah, Adam Gase will have to adjust the offense somewhat. That you're not going to count on the quarterback to win the game for you. They're going to have to rely on the defense and be able to run the ball a little bit. But it's not as if they're putting in a guy who has no experience or is a rookie or a situation like that. The guy has won in the league before, and if things break right for the Jets, he can keep them respectable. But again, the schedule is so tough. The Browns have Monday night, which is a game that normally you think they could win. Now it's going to be really difficult. And then they got to go to New England, and I think they have a bye, and then Philadelphia and Dallas. I mean, it's a really tough opening stretch.
How much, Gary Myers with us, does the Inunua injury kill him as well?
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, he is a big play guy. He's a physical receiver who bounces off guys. Physically, he reminds me of Terrell Owens. He's not nearly as good as that, but that's the kind of physical receiver that he is. And he was invisible in the first game. How much was due to the neck injury that was discovered later, I'm not sure, but he's one of those guys they were counting on this year. And they had to go out and trade for Demaryius Thomas with the Patriots. Now, I will say this. I would think that the fact that Bill Belichick not only would trade within the division, but trade a player to the Jets, a team that he thoroughly despises, I think that's an indication that Belichick most likely believes that Demaryius Thomas doesn't have very much left. And, you know, trading him to the Jets for, I think it was either a 5th or a 6th round pick, for a player that was not going to probably dress all that often in New England, that he just said, hey, you can have him. I'll take your draft choice. We don't care. He's not going to do very much for you anyhow. So the Jets receiver situation is in pretty bad shape.
What do you think of the Greg Williams situation with OBJ? It kind of started up. OBJ said that he, you know, he coaches cheap shots and things of this nature. We've already gone down this Greg Williams road before with the bounty situation. So, I mean, I think a lot of people believe that he's a dirty coach, but there's players like Jonathan Vilma say it's not true. What do you believe?
Well, I mean, his history, when you consider, you know, what happened in New Orleans, that his defenses have always played close to over the line. They're very chippy, and it's not just what happened in New Orleans. I mean, that was that way with the Rams. It's been that way with the Browns, and OBJ's injury a couple of years ago against Cleveland in that playoff game in the preseason game where he had that ankle injury. And it may not have been a cheap shot, but certainly in a preseason game you wouldn't expect it. And Beckham comes out the other day and rips Greg Williams. That was not their first run-in. In 2014, I happened to be at this game in St. Louis. The Rams' mission that day was to manhandle Beckham as much as the rules would allow, and they actually got penalized a bunch. And it was a big fight at one point between Beckham and Alec Ogletree, who later on became Beckham's teammate with the Giants.
Right, I remember.
And that was that was the Greg Williams defense in St. Louis, and that was the most blatant case I can remember of a team actually putting a target on a player's back to try to throw him off his game. And Beckham obviously remembered that game, remembers what happened against the Browns a couple of years ago. And I think what he did the other day, in effect, was issue a warning to the referee, you know, hey, be on the watch out Monday night because this guy has come after me in the past.
So, Gary Myers with us. I got to ask you about the Giants. Sterling Shepard, a concussion. I thought they looked pretty bad against the Cowboys. I didn't think Eli was that bad, but a lot of people are still – it hasn't taken long for them to clamor for Daniel Jones. What do you think of their situation going into the Bills game at MetLife on Sunday?
Well, you figure if the Giants are going to win games early in the season, Scott, this is one they got to win, Buffalo – at home. The Bills come right back to MetLife Stadium after being there last week, and if they beat the Giants on Sunday, they might want to play all their games at MetLife this year. I think that Eli will stay in there if he can play well and the Giants win a few games. But if they're now 2-14 in September and October, the last 2 years plus last Sunday. 2-14 in the first 2 months of the season. So there's not a lot of positive signs that the Giants are going to get off to a good start. And my feeling is that if the season is lost by the middle of October, then what point, as long as the offensive line can protect the rookie, then just put him in there and let him get the bumps in the road out of the way early. Because no matter when a young quarterback plays, there's going to be difficult periods. So you might as well get it out of the way now so in his second year he hits the ground running and can possibly take that first to second year leap. There's no point anymore in playing Eli. Now, if the Giants can win Sunday and then, you know, win some early games and stay respectable and Eli's playing well, then – you know, it doesn't hurt the kid to sit and watch for a little bit, but I would think by midseason he'll be playing.
Yeah, I like Barkley and just about nothing else on that football team, to be honest with you. What do you think of the situation, Gary Myers, with all the chaos and where it is now with Antonio Brown and he ends up with the Patriots? Can you even believe that?
You know, it's funny, Scott, that when all the stuff was going on with Brown in Oakland, everybody says, watch, he'll wind up on the Patriots. And it was more kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing. But then after he got cut, and in those 3 hours between when he got cut and when the Patriots signed him, it almost seemed like everybody expected the Patriots to be the team that stepped up and brought him in. And it kind of keeps with the theme of what Belichick has done with players that fit this character portrait, so to speak. You know, Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, Albert Haynesworth, Ocho Cinco, you know, drafting Aaron Hernandez, that he'll take chances on players with questionable character traits and let them in the door, and then the Patriot way takes over, that if you cross Belichick, or if you miss a team meeting, or if you're late for practice, then he gets rid of you. But it seems like he's willing to take a chance on just about anybody. You know, the misconception about the Patriot way is that they run such a tight ship. Well, they do once you get them in the door, but they don't run such a tight ship in who they allow in the door.
That's true.
If that makes sense.
It does.
And Brown is just the latest example of that.
I can't wait to see how they play with him. I mean, they are loaded, and they got these high-risk guys like Gordon with his drugs and this guy with his just absolute narcissism. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. They're favored by like 18.5 in Miami on Sunday. Gary, great stuff on the Jets and Giants, as always. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. We'll catch up again real soon.
Okay, take care, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Gary Myers with us, the great author and longtime NFL columnist.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
You got to get on PharrellOnTheBench.com for all my Saturday and Sunday football plays, college and pro. Killer football picks so far this season. Last week one, NFL, 79% bets hit, documented. 64% last weekend college football, documented. It is what it is. It's kick-ass and takes names. PharrellOnTheBench.com, everything, baseball, boxing, MMA, all the picks, every pick, every play, every day, then hockey, then basketball. It's all there, all ranked every day. Great results, phenomenal price. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Carver High, we're going to Lipstick City. We're going to L.A. for the Spence Porter fight on September 28th. We'll be live on the 26th and 27th from L.A. doing the show. When is that, Carver High? Like, what's today, Friday the 13th? What's that, a couple weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks from tonight we'll be there.
Sweet. Are you doing calisthenics? Are you getting ready? You got the whole deal going? What do you got going on? You got the Blazers going? What do we got going here?
I don't know. It's not Vegas, so I gotta think.
You might
about
have
it.
To temper that and slow it
we'll
down.
See. I'll come up with a little something.
Little gadget. Are you looking forward to going to LA? You've never been to LA?
Never been to LA.
I'll check that off the list. So be ready for that. We'll be going to L.A. There's all kinds of other stuff brewing as well around here. Lots of exciting things happening at Pharrell on the Bench. Possible. There could be a possible trip brewing to Lambeau. I mean, it is all going on. Mafia's going to the, it looks like at this point, the Diaz-Masvidal fight at the Garden. That's brewing.
Of course. Every time it's in New York City. I make an effort to go there, whether it's Brooklyn or the Garden.
That's November 2nd at the Garden. So just a lot happening. And it's very exciting times. So we were talking about the Giants and Daniel Jones and everything. But the reality is that they're playing the Bills, right? And he said, I bet the Bills wish they played every game at MetLife. That'd be nice for you, Carver High, if your team played 20 minutes down the road every Sunday. But the fact of the matter is they are playing there Sunday, and no one thought they would beat the Jets. They're down 16-0. They beat the Jets. Everyone thinks your quarterback sucks. He continues to win games. Everyone thinks your team sucks. They continue to win games. Now you heard Gary. He's basically like, got to win this game against the Bills.
He ain't the only one.
No one respects him.
Around here, this place today? On the air, you know.
It's just automatic.
All these people think that Giants are winning on Sunday. Like, this is like this.
Done
this
deal.
They can't understand how the Giants are home dogs on Sunday. They have no idea why. They can't. a must win. They're definitely going to win. This is the stuff I heard all around the New York City area today. And that's fine because, like we've talked about a lot here, I'm used to that stuff. Nobody watches the Bills. I get it. They just don't.
No one respects them.
But you know what? There's a good chance that by Sunday night, they're going to roll into New Jersey twice in 2 weeks and take both of these local teams out.
So you like being the team that no one ever talks about and everybody thinks is a joke because then you go under the radar and then you sneak up like a copperhead and bite them right in the leg.
Listen, I like my team right now. Is there still improvement? Of course. Is the kid still learning at quarterback? Of course he is. You saw both sides of the coin from him last week. You saw the
terrible
what could be the worst,
good.
And you could see what he can do as well, what could be, when he's on. So
you think he's inconsistent, like, still?
I think he's still a young and inconsistent quarterback, but he's also shown me over the last 5 or 6 games last year and last week in week one the potential that he can be when his game is right. And that's the stuff that I like to see because I haven't seen it from a quarterback in Buffalo in 20 years.
Do you think they'll get to Manning and put him down a few times?
I do. From what I saw from my defense last week, they're going to be one of the five, around their top five units in the league this year.
So they're going to get to him and rough him up.
Yeah, because the one thing that the Bills are really solid at is they're great in coverage. They don't give up a lot of big plays. They're good in the secondary, tight coverage. And when you have tight coverage like that, you know what happens, especially with a guy who can't move like Eli Manning, eventually that pocket's going to get to you, right? When you got nowhere to throw the ball, eventually that pocket is going to collapse. And when your quarterback can't move, you're going to be in trouble.
Do you think it's amazing that he's been there, 16 years? That he's played, almost every game? Literally.
Every game but one.
Every game but one because that idiot McAdoo.
Right, the Geno Smith game out in Oakland a couple
years
ago.
You have to admit that was really a dumb move.
I think it was handled poorly, yeah.
Real poorly, and that was the end of that guy.
Yeah, that was, it was getting to the end, and that kind of really
finished him off. Boy, did that ruin his career, right? Is he even coaching?
Yeah, he's not anywhere right now.
Nowhere, because he got all that money.
I'm sure they're still paying him, yeah, absolutely.
What a deal to be that crappy a coach and make all that money. I mean, he made a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money.
I think you should have to give it back if you suck that bad. There should be a receipt. Okay, I get my 30-day back guarantee. Thanks, see ya. Give me my money back. You suck. Seriously. Speaking of money, your boy Tyson the Gypsy King Fury is fighting tomorrow night in Vegas, correct? And where is that fight? Is it at T-Mobile or is it at the MGM Grand Garden Arena? Anyway, so he's fighting Otto Wolin. It's probably at the Grand Garden now. It is T-Mobile. It's actually at T-Mobile. So there you go. He's fighting at T-Mobile. That's amazing, right, that they give him that arena for a heavyweight fight against some hack. Now, let's say the guy's undefeated, Wolin. No one's ever heard of him, right? Not in this country, that's for sure. And you know, the funny thing about Fury is he's talking about that he doesn't care about money. He said he's not boxing for money, and he said he's never met one happy millionaire, not one, not a single one. I know a lot of millionaires, and I don't know one happy one. He said not one. They're always unhappy because they're searching for more. Material stuff or money will never make a man happy. Man has got to find happiness deep within his soul. He's fighting Wolin, and then if he gets past this guy, which he will, then he'll fight Wilder next, allegedly, for a massive payday. But he said, I'd rather have wins than money. I'm not gunning for money. I'm gunning for wins. I'm not gunning for his belt. I'm not gunning for the paycheck. I'm gunning for his blood. Fury said, it's not about money at all. When you're comfortable in your life, what do a few zeros really mean anyway? Money's one thing, but you're talking to the king, El Rey de los Gitanos. I am the Gypsy King, the real official Gypsy King. He says millionaires and billionaires are lining up to be his friend because they want to be close to him. He said life isn't about money. Life's about love, passion, and being happy. And if we can do that, if humans can ever do that, then we've cracked it. Do you believe all of his tales? He's been saying that since we went to see him fight Wilder at Stables, where we're going to see this Spence fight. He's been selling that he doesn't care about money. Now, when a guy's making millions fighting, Remember, just so you know, he gave his paycheck up in the Wilder fight at Staples. Did you know that? He gave it all to charity. Now, I don't know if that's true, that he gave it all to charity, but he definitely gave millions to charity for the homeless, right? And what did you think of that? I mean, that was crazy, right? Like, is that not crazy?
That's an amazing move, especially for a guy like that who, you know, made it to the top, but it's not like he had some long reign. It's not like, you know, Anthony Joshua, who's fought all these times for millions of dollars every time, you know, was making $50 million for the fight. I mean, that was his biggest payday yet, and he gave at least a huge chunk of it, if not all of it, up. So that's amazing, you know, and surprising, and something you definitely don't see in most sports, let alone boxing. Usually boxing, it's always the flashy
guys. You believe him that he doesn't care about money?
I think he cares about, you know, enough to provide for him and his family, but it doesn't seem like it drives him. But then again, he had those sweet shoes on. Those couldn't have been cheap.
Right. Those were really nice. I have to say that he's – I think that, you know, once you have a lot of money, it's easy to say you don't care about it, right?
Especially when you're a guy that came from nothing. Like, if you're used to living with nothing, like, some people take that and get crazy when they actually get it and want to buy everything in the world. Some people, like, I don't need it. Like, I know I can survive without it, and apparently he's on that side of it.
I don't know. I think that it's more along the lines of Carver High, that he has money, so he doesn't have to worry about it. And then he plays like he doesn't care about it because he has it.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Dude's got plenty of scratch. So, you know, give a little bit back. Nothing wrong with that. You don't see it very often, given the whole thing, you know. But who, you know, it is what it is. He's still got, he's just going to make more in this next one, right?
Yeah. Did you see the fans at the Panther game last night with the giant brawl that broke out at the stadium?
I did see that. That was during the Lightning delay.
So in the Lightning delay, they had
very early in the game.
Fight club.
This is the first quarter. I mean, the game is only – this is way early in the night.
Why? There was – I actually saw, like – did I not see –
is this the one with the dude, his sandals came off? He's fighting in bare feet there?
I saw – yeah. And
it's like in the – underneath. It's in the concession area.
Right. And then I even saw chicks getting beat up.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I saw everything. I saw everything. Old people, young people, men, women, children, people in visors, everyone was watching. There were people getting punched in the face. Everyone was getting punched in the face. Nobody even knows who won the fight. There was just this huge fight that broke out. It was just out of control, and people just behaving poorly when they got all that alcohol in them. That's what that is. Trust me, you drink enough, you know, for 5 hours before the game, anything's possible. Everybody gets real brave when they got a six-pack in them, don't they? People get real cocky when they're drunk. I mean, I don't understand, though, really. How do you beat up your own? You know what I mean? When the, like, they're, you know, all these fans were Panther fans fighting each other. I mean, for what reason? I don't get it. What, do you go to the game to cheer your team on? Everybody's on the same page, 60, 70,000 people cheering for the Panthers. Meanwhile, the game's in a Lightning delay, and you're out there beating the crap out of somebody that's wearing the same colors as you, the same team, the same jersey. You're supposed to be, you know, one big happy family, aren't you? You know, when people go tailgate, they're all like the Bills Mafia. You don't, do they really go around beating each other up?
I haven't seen a lot of fights with Bills Mafia fighting each other. They have a lot of fun throwing each other through the tables and stuff and lighting stuff on fire.
Right.
But I don't see a lot of.
Do they beat up
brawls?
Other fans from other teams?
I mean, look, you go to any NFL stadium in the country on any Sunday, you could find a fight. I mean, but is it commonplace? I mean, not that I know of, but it happens everywhere.
It definitely happens here. I mean, those Jet fans, they'll beat up children. I mean, they really will. We've seen it, right? I still can't get over the Cleveland fan that got banned for throwing the beer on the guy, and he wasn't even at the game. How pathetic is that? That is so funny to me. All right, Jamie Eisenberg is up from CBS Sports, our fantasy guru. He's been on forever on this show over 15 years. Jamie Eisenberg next. You got to get on a line right now, 855-212-4227 if you want to talk to him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.